JakeBurnsCleveland.com. You can catch him all over Browns film breakdown and so much more. Jake, you probably have what? You have like 15 jobs, don't you?
Yeah, I stay busy. That's for sure. There's no doubt about that.
I appreciate the time, especially on a Saturday morning. Let's start with this trade yesterday. Let's start with what the Browns are getting. Olivier Vernon. Well, when you pop on the film, when you watch him, what stands out? What does he have in the tank, and what do you foresee with him playing next to, or across from Myles Garrett?
Yeah, so I think you're getting a hyper-athletic player. I think of what you always wanted Emmanuel Ogba to be is what you're getting from Olivier Vernon. So, you know, really good use of the swim. He can use speed well, can use that long arm that people like to see coming across the edge, but can also do the upfield speed bend move that Myles Garrett does so well, too. So really good strength power player, but is savvy enough with footwork to be able to, you know, defeat blocks such as craft blocks on what's called pin pull, where people are coming from the outside to block you down, but can also beat tackles and tight ends on reach blocks and hold an edge in the run game. So I think he's just a really complete football player. He, you know, dating back to his time in Miami, he had a really good stretch of healthy seasons, had a couple tough seasons with injuries, didn't miss an abundance of games, was above I think the minimum number he played was 11, but he did deal with a high ankle sprain last year that slowed him down a bit, but still was productive nonetheless. You know, Pro Football Focus had him as, I think, the 13th or 14th graded edge rusher, one of their better one-on-one players. And keep this in mind, too, James, he was going up against some of the best left tackles in football in the NFL, in the NFC East. Trent Williams in Washington, Tyron Smith in Dallas, and Jason Peters in Philadelphia. That's 6 games a year playing against some of the best tackles in football. He doesn't have that in Cleveland. So there are some tackles that are pretty solid in the AFC North, but nothing like that on a regular basis.
Is it safe to say that role with the Browns, knowing that Myles Garrett's going to command the attention of opposing offensive lines and opposing offenses, that he has a chance to be really productive as the second guy, as the backup or the sidekick?
Yeah, it seems like that's when he's been the best in his career, whether it was playing alongside Cam Wake in Miami or it was playing alongside Jason Pierre-Paul there in New York for a while. He was sort of that really, really effective Robin player to a Batman, and we obviously have that quote-unquote Batman here in Cleveland with Myles Garrett, who we all think is going to be an All-Pro next year. So those two paired together when you have to commit a lot of attention to Myles Garrett, and then hopefully they bring in somebody to jump beside Larry Ogunjobi, the 3-tech we all have our eyes on, Ed Oliver, Christian Wilkins, somebody really good at the college level, can be explosive. And then, you know, they could add somebody in free agency along with that line. So it is a pass rushing forte on the inside. And then it's like you're getting Vernon one-on-one all the time. And that's going to be tough for teams to deal with. Like I said, you have the third best grade in one-on-one situations. Now, there is going to be the issue of who plays that right defensive end against the left tackle, because that's where both Myles Garrett and Vernon lined up pretty continuously in their careers. So I know Myles Garrett, according to Pro Football Focus, has done really well in about 50 snaps on the opposite edge last year going up against right tackle. So maybe that's something they do. Some really smart people I trust have mentioned that maybe you want Myles Garrett coming at you as a right-handed quarterback in your sight line the entire time. You can kind of see in your peripheral vision Myles Garrett beating his man all the time, and that becomes a little bit of a head case thing with quarterbacks. So how they work that out is going to be really interesting. Who's willing to sort of get off and out of their comfort zone will be fun to watch. But you just got, as a Browns fan, somebody watching these games, you got to feel good about two seriously athletic specimens playing defensive end. You just look at Olivier Vernon, you're going to see a guy that he just looks like he was built to play football. That same sort of body type that Myles Garrett brings, those guys are just built to play football, built to get after the quarterback, and you got to feel good about John Dorsey's, I want 4 pass rushers coming after the quarterback up front. And adding that position opposite Myles Garrett was very important for him, and I think he did a pretty good job with it.
Jake Burns is with us, Browns Film Breakdown, Cleveland.com. You can follow him on Twitter, Jake_Burns18. Let's talk about Vernon in the run game, because I've listened to some of these analysts here on 92.3 over the past 24 hours since the trade has went down, and it's been pretty positive. How is he in run defense? Is he just an edge rusher? Is he an edge specialist, or does he offer more?
I think he offers a bit more in that regard. I think we have viewed Emmanuel Ogba as that guy to kind of set the edge and do a really good job against teams trying to beat the Browns laterally to the sideline with the two things I was saying earlier, which are you know, the pin pull scheme that we saw the Chargers kill the Browns with, or just straight up outside, mid to outside zone that teams run so much in the NFL. He does a really nice job playing physical with the hands, but can also do enough things to be creative and beat blocks to get through the edge too, which is important because sometimes you can't just run through people. You got to be able to elude them, but also play with power too. So I think he'll do well enough. It's not his forte necessarily, but he did grade out in the low 70s, which, you know, I trust Pro Football Focus on some of this analysis stuff because they have very wise people who do a good job with it. But then I try to watch the film myself, and I see a guy who's able to maintain the edge. Are there going to be times where things get outside of him? That's possible. Nobody's perfect. But you're not getting a guy who is necessarily a pass rush specialist. So the Browns, I think, when they look at the free agency group, they see a bunch of guys who are going to be really good at getting after the quarterback only, the types like Darius Smith, who's a name for Baltimore, or Justin Houston, just released from Kansas City. Those guys specialize in getting after the quarterback. The Browns probably thought to themselves, we need somebody who is a three-down player at defensive end who we trust to be on the field in predictable pass situations, but also in those run-pass mix situations, too. So let's get this guy right here who's good enough against the run, not exceptional, but good enough, and then get a guy who can also win those one-on-one battles and get after the quarterback and make a big difference when it's pin your ears back in the fourth quarter, get a sack to win the game type of situation.
James Erpine with you here on 92.3 The Fan, joined by Jake Burns. Jake, let's talk about what the Browns gave up. Obviously, a proven Pro Bowl player in Kevin Zeitler at guard. To me, I have my concerns and my reservations when you give up a guy like Zeitler. How big of a loss is this for the Browns?
It's big. I don't want to undersell it. It's big in its own vacuum. Like, Kevin Zeitler is a heck of a football player. First off, from everybody you talk to, he's a heck of a person, heck of a leader, just comes to work and grinds. So you want to thank Kevin Zeitler for everything he did for Cleveland, especially coming from Owens, you know, the winless season to just last year, a big part of building that interior offensive line. So you don't want to undersell that. He is a very good football player. But keep in mind perspective of this. Winning football teams in the win probability, win share market is going to be always impacted more by getting after opposing quarterbacks than having good guard play. You can find good guards all over the place. I believe that the Browns sat down, brought in James Campen, sat down with Todd Monken, and sat down with Freddie Kitchens, and they said, do we think, based on what we've seen in the preseason and what we viewed in practice last year, and they have film of all of these things, can Austin Corbett play the right guard position? As a bare minimum, can he be 80 to 85% of what Kevin Zeitler gave us? And I think that they had to come to that consensus. Big opinion held by James Campen. I'm sure his opinion on the matter meant a lot. Do you think you can take this kid? Do you think you can mold him? He has a history of doing those things in Green Bay. And they probably sat down. I'm guessing this is not me connected to anybody inside, but they sat down and said, this is what we believe Austin Corbett can be. We will sacrifice a guard on this contract for a defensive end on a similar contract, a little bit more, but can get us more of what we call win share probability to certainly help us on Sunday win more football games. But they have to feel good about Austin Corbett sliding in there. But, James, that does not eliminate them from going into free agency and looking at a guard to back up. I know that they had Earl Watford playing in the side last year, too, as a backup. Looks like they're probably going to let him go, but they want to bring in, and they would be wise to bring in some serious competition, whether it's through free agency or a middle to late round interior player draft pick, just as some insurance that they feel in case Austin Corbett can't get it done. But I do think Austin Corbett is a reason that they felt okay about making that move.
Yeah, I mean, they must, not only did they invest the 33rd pick in him, but John Dorsey is kind of putting his eggs in that basket. And even if they did sign a free agent, let's say, it's not going to be a higher-end free agent. They're not going to spend big money on a guard. So it'll be a lower-cost free agent that competes for the backup job. Like, if Corbett fails, and I'm not saying they obviously feel good about him, but if he fails, they're going to have to put something in place, whether it's a rookie or some kind of free agent, just in case, right? I mean, Kevin Zeitler was great last year, and now you're rolling the dice with someone who might not be.
Yeah, well, no, they certainly do. And they put a lot of pressure on their guards last year, too, James. If you watch, they pull one of their favorite, week 9 through 17, and one of their favorite schemes was a play-action scheme where they would move the guard and pull him to sell run action and have him almost one-on-one with a defensive end. So they use those guys often in there, obviously Betonio, obviously Zeitler, too. So there is stress put on the guards. it is a risky trade in that factor. You can't sit here and say, well, I guarantee Austin Corbett's going to work out. We don't know. I feel good about him. I think that the franchise feels good about him, but you don't know. That's why I think it is paramount to sign some sort of either, and like I said, a middle-tier free agent who you think can compete with him, and at the worst, he's a swing backup on any of the three interior positions. And that could mean that they take a center, too. They could sign a center who backs up, you know, because you got to think J.C. Treader's got 1 year left on his deal, too. So they're looking probably big picture with this stuff. I do really expect them, maybe with that now extra fourth-round pick in that trade that they acquired, to move up a little bit, to take a center or guard, somebody they feel can have that, you know, the mobility to play either of those three positions if they need them to. But yes, they have to have some sort of concrete plan to challenge Austin Corbett in the best man wins type of situation.
Jake Burns is with us, Browns Film Breakdown and Cleveland.com. Jake, as far as free agency goes, and obviously tampering, the tampering period starts Monday. Fans are excited. I'm excited. John Dorsey's going to be aggressive. Are there any players that stand out to you that would be a really good fit or a perfect fit here in Cleveland?
Great question. I think they have to improve on their defensive line, and they did a nice job with the defensive end situation and making themselves not feel pigeonholed into the draft of taking, we have to take a guy as a pass rusher here, and they forced themselves to take a player, keeping themselves wide open now in the draft to take the best player available. What I think they should do is do the same with defensive tackle. There are a couple guys that we really like and we've kept an eye on. I mean, myself, I think Henry Anderson from New York, big long defensive tackle out of Stanford, really good football player, you know, has ability to beat you with the power speed, had 7 sacks last year for the Jets. Just a good football player who I think can do multiple things inside a good 3 technique. You obviously have Larry Ogunjobi at 1. They need to acquire some people at the 3 and rotational pieces up front too. Somebody else like Malik Jackson was just let go by Jacksonville just yesterday. So there are options at defensive tackle. Maybe they don't want to spend big money that Sheldon Richardson might command. But defensive tackle, I do expect them to be aggressive on. Linebacker, 2 big names to me. Jordan Hicks out of Philadelphia, really good football player. I think he's going to be on the market. He can stay healthy. He's one of the best all-around linebackers. Sound tackler, sound coverage guy. Is an Ohio guy before he went to Texas, so has some roots here, obviously, too. So he would be a good fit beside Joe Schobert. Then C.J. Mosley is a name to keep in mind, too. I think he's a beacon of health, beacon of consistency. Could play Mike, move Schobert over a little bit. To the Sam or Will position. You know, they don't know what they're getting out of Christian Kirksey coming back from injury. He hasn't played well the past 2 years, so we'll have to see. But those 2 interior linebackers draw a lot of attention for me. And then they might look to sign, with Breanbody Calhoun being let go, they might look to sign somebody to play in that nickel. Steven Nelson's an interesting name to play the nickel. Or they might look at a bigger safety type too. Or LaMarcus Joyner was just let go by the Rams. So keep those defensive names in mind. And then on offense, the only position I think that they truly attack offensively is through free agency might be wide receiver. Tyrell Williams seems to be the connection. Big 6'4" guy out of the LA Chargers, if you guys recall, had a couple touchdowns against the Browns, and one of them against 3 defenders there in the end zone. Should ring a bell for Browns fans. So he's a name to keep in mind. I think that they're trying to add a wide receiver in free agency, and that could be bringing back Rashad Perriman, so we'll have to see. But I expect them to be aggressive on the defensive side of the ball in free agency to put them in a position at 17 where they don't feel like, hey, we have to pick defense, or we have to pick offense, or we have to pick a defensive tackle. It is, I want the best player available. If that happens to be a linebacker, if it happens to be a corner, if it happens to be a wide receiver, we make that move right here.
I love that idea. The best player available, especially in the back half of the draft, is the philosophy I completely agree with. As Jake Burns joins us here on 92.3 The Fan. Duke Johnson's been discussed a lot and has been throughout his career here in Cleveland because he's underutilized, according to the fans. When you watch him, how talented is he? I mean, the NFL's full of these backs now that can catch out of the backfield. Is he unique, or is he just another one of the guys now? I know he's unique to Cleveland, but to me, it seems like there are a lot of Duke Johnsons around the NFL.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's necessary. Let me preface by saying this. Duke Johnson's a heck of a football player. I think he's a very good all-around back. I'm not sure that he can carry the load for any franchise, but there are ways to get that player involved. Some teams are better at getting those players involved than others. For example, the Chargers, example, New England, they get their backs involved in the passing game often. And the Browns, through Duke Johnson's career, have gotten him involved in the pass game quite often. But what they do lose with Duke Johnson on the field is a little bit of that, what we call run-pass deception. When Duke Johnson's on the field, you pretty much know it's going to be about 80-20 pass. When Nick Chubb's on the field, it has a less, and what will be with Kareem Hunt, is you have less predictability in terms of what your offense is going to do, and that really hurts your defense. If you have a defense confused about what's coming, it just increases your, you know, your. I'm sure there are smart statistical people here that have analyzed this thing. I don't have a great percentage for it, but I just know that it is going to improve your offense's probability for success. With Duke Johnson, you have a guy who is really good, and what a guy that I have thought would be really good in the slot, running jet sweeps, doing jet action. You see somebody like Kareem, or not Kareem, but Tyreek Hill do, amongst many others, just a deception guy, but can also get to the edge and make those plays. And I've also thought he would be a good slot receiver. In Cleveland, that has never come to fruition. They've never felt comfortable truly playing him in the slot. The only game where they gave him an abundance of snaps in the slot was week one in 2017 against Pittsburgh. They just have never done it. Now, what that means or why they won't do it, I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I don't know. But they've never committed to that move. So his value here, he will help the Browns. If he's here, you can find ways to have him help the Browns. But if they lose him and somebody else is interested in his, you know, services and they can get some sort of pick back for him, I don't think it makes or breaks the Browns offense by any stretch. We all thought that maybe Freddie Kitchens would get Duke Johnson involved more. That's not really the case. He only had about 300 yards of total output from weeks 9 through 17. The targets were down this year. So I think in an offense that's driven from down to downfield passing with Todd Monken and Freddie Kitchens combining their philosophies, I don't necessarily see a really big need for Duke Johnson in this offense. And then you think, too, now about signing Kareem Hunt. And people, you know, you could have your own opinion about Kareem Hunt, and I'm on the fence of, you know, I truly don't like what he did as a person. But if you're just looking at it as a player, because you have to separate the two at this point now, the player was a top-five running back in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So you would consider Nick Chubb on the path to be a top-five running back. You have two of those guys, and then you also have Duke Johnson. It's an overabundance of players. So I get there. You know, the desire to move him. People have kind of freaked out about what the Hunt suspension will be. The Browns will find a way to get by with a second running back in that situation. So I do hope that they can get something for Duke Johnson that would be best for the franchise, and getting Duke to maybe a place like Philadelphia who needs that type of running back to let him get on the field more. It might be a win-win for everybody. But I do hope Duke has been one of the better players for the Browns for his entire career. You know, a beacon of consistency. So keeping him here makes a ton of sense too.
He's Jake Burns. Follow him on Twitter at Jake_Burns18, Cleveland.com, Browns film breakdown, and in a bunch of other jobs as well. Jake, I appreciate you carving out some time with us here on The Fan.
James, I really appreciate you having me on, man.